Hollywood, California, we bring you a new Dr. Christian prize play called Miss Lizzie's Burglar, starring Gene Herschel and presented for your pleasure by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. Here's the wartime way to run your household budget. Scale down your living expenses like this. And scale up your war bond buying like this. It's patriotic to save for your country. Smart to save for yourself. So buy only what you really need. And learn how to get the most use out of the things you already have. Now take, for example, the jar of Vaseline jelly in your medicine cabinet. Perhaps you never realized how many things Vaseline jelly can do for you. Have you learned what a wonderful dressing it is for everyday burns and scalds and for small cuts and abrasions? Try it next time. You know it relieves babies' chafing and ordinary skin irritations? Apply it whenever baby's skin is sore and red. Have you found out how soothing Vaseline jelly is for cracked and work-worn hands? Use it whenever extra hard work makes the hands blistered or sore. Vaseline jelly actually does the work of half a dozen different products, yet it probably costs less than any one of them. Only 10 cents a generous jar. Thus, the more you use it, the more money you save. If you don't happen to have a jar of Vaseline jelly in your house right now, get one tonight. It costs only 10 cents, but it can save you many times its price. Look for the trademark Vaseline. It's your guarantee of absolute purity. Our prize play tonight, Miss Lizzie's Burglar, comes to us from Richmond, Virginia. The author is Gene Scott Anderson. Back in the World War No. 1 days, Gene Anderson was a dollar-a-year girl traveling throughout the East, recruiting stenographers and typists for government jobs. After the war, her husband's business took them to Richmond, Virginia to live. Her writing experience includes several short stories and articles published, a year of writing and delivering her own radio chatter on the local radio station, and now this Dr. Christian Award winner, Miss Lizzie's Burglar. Besides Gene Herschel, our star, who plays the part of Dr. Christian, and Lurene Tuttle, who plays Judy Price, you will hear Ada Gleason as Miss Lizzie Barnaby, a determined maiden lady, and Harry Lang as Joe Henderson, a woman hater. And so the curtain rises. Dr. Christian and Judy are driving along River Road on their way to see Miss Lizzie Barnaby.
Miss Barnaby was in a dither. She's been calling for you since last night.
That's strange. I never knew what you'd be sick.
She said it was most urgent.
Can't imagine what could be wrong with her, except maybe nerves. She's a rather high-strung kind of a person.
You're telling me. Was she excited and demanded that I get you at once?
You told her Mrs. Hart was having a baby, didn't you?
Yes, and she thought that should be postponed. By the way she talked, you'd think no one ever needed a doctor before.
Well, that sounds just like her.
She lives all alone, doesn't she?
Yes, ever since her father died 10 years ago. It really isn't safe for a woman to be living all alone so far from neighbors. But you can tell that to her.
I wonder why she doesn't get married.
Well, it would take a brave fellow to marry Miss Lizzie now with all her peculiarities. Anyway, she's getting along in years, and I think a man would have a difficult time with her. But look, here we are.
Oh, what gorgeous flowers. And so many of them.
Yes, they are beautiful, but Miss Lizzie doesn't know how to arrange her flower beds in the artistic manner her father did. When he was alive, people came from miles around to admire his flowers. Oh, there she is now, on the veranda.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Miss Lizzie.
Hello.
Well, it's about time you got here, Dr. Christian. I have a very sick patient for you.
Oh, then it isn't yourself?
Do I look as though there was anything wrong with me?
No, only I didn't know you had someone here with you.
Come right in. Sit down. Sit down and be comfortable. I've got something to tell you, Paul Christian, and I don't know where to begin. It's the most exciting thing that ever happened to me. Phew.
All right, now, all right. Calm yourself. Take your time and let me hear all about it.
Well, it was this way. Yesterday, I was out all day. I didn't get home until after dark. And when I came in, I turned on all the lights and went through the house as I always do.
Oh, very nice procedure.
I looked in all the closets and under the bed.
You really do that?
I most certainly do. And last night, What do you suppose I found under my very own bed?
Don't tell me it was a
man. A man, yes.
What? A burglar?
I don't know. You see...
Did you notice the police immediately?
No, I...
You don't mean to say you let him go free?
Well, I...
You couldn't do that. He might be some dangerous criminal that the police are looking for.
Oh, he wouldn't harm
anyone. Well, how do you know? That was very careless of you, Miss Lizzie. Too many awful things happen these days. Might even come back here and you can't tell what he would do.
He didn't get away. He's right here now.
In this house?
In that room.
Good gracious.
Miss Lizzie, do you mean to tell me that you had this stranger here all night and you haven't called the police? Go to the phone, Julian. Call them at once. Oh. Tell them to hurry right
now. Now, listen here, Paul Christian. The police are not going to touch that man. I sent for you because he's sick, and I want you to go in there and look at him and tell me what's wrong.
Well, I'll take a look at him. But if I'm not satisfied, I'll call the police no matter what you may say.
Well, weren't you terribly frightened when you found him, Miss Lizzie?
No. I don't scare easily. So when I called to him and he wouldn't come out, I just got the broom and gave him a good poke. But he didn't budge. So I moved the bed. And there he was, in a stupor.
Had he been drinking?
I thought so at first, but it wasn't that. And I put him to bed, and there he is. Seemed sort of dazed and woozy. So I called the doctor.
Did you discover how he got into the house?
The windows were all open.
Why, it's a wonder you haven't had everything stolen.
Nothing's happened so far, and I've been living alone for 10 years.
Oh, you wouldn't get me to stay in a big house like this alone. I'm too much of a coward.
Stuff and nonsense. Nothing's going to happen to a woman because she's alone. Well, doctor?
Well, the burglar, whoever he is, seemed to be very weak. But he's not exactly sick.
What do you mean?
It's a case of near starvation. He hasn't had any food for several days, and before that, the little he did have was not sufficient to keep him going very long.
Well, if food is all he needs,
You would give him plenty, but for the next few days, he has to be on a diet. His stomach is too weak to handle a hearty meal. What he must have is plenty of eggs and milk and light foods.
Well, goodness knows there's enough here.
I know, but Miss Lizzie, I was thinking the best thing would be for me to take him back with me and put him in the hospital.
You'll do nothing of the kind. He's going to stay right here.
Oh, but Miss Lizzie, what would people say? You, a single woman, having a man and a strange man at that in your home. It's a very easy thing to start foolish talk.
If folks don't know me better than that after living here all my life for 50 years, then let them talk. Did he tell you his name?
No, he refused outright.
Did he say where he came from?
He wouldn't tell me that either. And when a man refuses to talk about himself, it's because he has something to conceal.
When you read about the awful things that happen to him...
I'll take a chance. He has a good face and kind eyes, and he's very mannerly.
Well, all the more reason to believe he's a crook. That's part of the stock and trade, that and being nice to women.
Say anything you wish, Paul Christian. He's going to stay right here until he's fully recovered, and that's that.
Very well, but don't say I didn't warn you. Well, let me hear how he is tomorrow. Come on, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
Good day, Miss Lizzie.
Goodbye.
There's nothing so exasperating as a headstrong, determined old maid. Hmm, 2:30 already. What else have I for today, Judy?
Oh, there's a meeting at the hospital board at 4, and you have to see that little Nelson child. And Mr. Hart phoned that the new baby has some kind of a rash, and Mrs. Hart wants you to stop by.
Yeah, I think I'll take a few minutes' rest.
Oh, Dr. Christian, you need it at the rate you've been going for the past few days.
Oh, that's nothing. It's the unseasonably hot weather. Slows me down.
You would call it that. Dr. Christian's office. This is his secretary. May I take the message? Oh, doctor's very busy. All right. Dr. Christian, there's a man on the phone and he says he must talk to you. Sounds like one of those hurry-up calls.
Hmm. Dr. Christian speaking. Who? Who? Oh, it's you. It's Miss Lizzie's burglar.
Uh-oh.
How are you? Oh, now you mustn't get impatient. You've been in bed only 3 days. You've got to regain your strength, yes. What's that? Yes, you can come off the diet. Yes. Have a little Light beef or lamb and stay in bed another day.
What?
Oh, I'm very busy today. Perhaps this evening. You, well, I suppose if you feel that way. I'll try. Yes, then I'll be right out. Goodbye.
What did he have to say?
It's just as you said. Once be out there this afternoon. Something has gone wrong. Some sort of complication.
If you go out there, what about your board meeting at 4?
Oh, phone them, please, and say I'll be a little late.
That's my story, Dr. Christian. All there is to tell.
I'm glad we had this little talk, because it clears everything up very nicely.
It's just a matter of being down on my luck.
Well, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Then your men have lost their jobs and come back even better than ever. The thing is not to get discouraged. Be cheerful and eat your food.
Yeah, all I'm looking for is a break.
Well, now I certainly think you got one when you came here. You're looking much better than the first time I saw you. Everything must be agreeing with you.
Well, there's nothing about the food or the surroundings I could object to, but, Dr. Christian, I've got to get away from here. That's why I asked you to come over today. I can't stay here any longer.
I understand how you feel, but you've got to get your strength back before you can go. Naturally, you are a little nervous and upset, but try and be sensible about it and be glad that Miss Lacey is taking care of you instead of turning you over to the police.
There's worse things than that.
Oh, now, what a statement. You're being treated very well, aren't you?
Too well, that's the trouble. You see, Dr. Christian, all my life I've kept away from women. I never associate with them. I don't even talk to one if I can help it.
My, my. What did some woman do to you to make you feel that way?
Nothing. I never gave one a chance. And that's why I'm afraid of Miss Lizzie. She's just as kind and pleasant as she can be, and sort of motherly. But Dr. Christian, if I'm not careful, she'll marry me.
Well, of all the foolish things, Miss Lizzie marry you. A man she found under her bed, and for all she knows, you may be wanted by the police.
No, she knows all my story. Has a way with her for worming things out of me. I told her my whole history, and she feels sorry for me.
Well, what's wrong about that?
Oh, it's a very bad sign. I tell you, Dr. Christian, when a woman begins to feel sorry for a man, he's as good as married to her. You can't escape that type.
Yeah, for a man who has never associated with women, you seem to know a great deal about how to plan to trap a husband. Oh, I don't think you need worry about Miss Lizzie. She's a very levitated woman. She has no idea of marrying you.
You may think that, but nevertheless, I've got to get out of here.
Don't act so childish. You'll feel different in a couple of days when you're on your feet again.
But I know I won't. You should see the food she gives me. And the way she talks to me, it's getting me. I'm weakening. And in a couple of more days, I won't have any resistance.
Hey, you're funny. Let me tell you, Joe, this is my advice. You stay on and maybe tomorrow or the next day, when you feel strong enough, go out for a little walk. And if you think the same way about Miss Lizzie as you do today, then you keep right on going and forget to come back.
I can't go out. I haven't any shoes. She took them to the cleaner. And now she's going to town with my shoes to have them mended. I tell you, Dr. Christian, she has me any way you look at it.
Well, it seems to me you have an overdeveloped ego. You should consider yourself very fortunate in having a kind lady like Miss Lacey looking after you.
Oh, I know all about that, but I've got to go out of here. I thought maybe...
She's back. Don't tell her I called you, please.
Hello, Dr. Christian. What brings you here?
I was out this way, and I thought it was about time I took another look at my patient.
Doing well, isn't he?
Oh, very well indeed. 2 or 3 more days, and he'll be able to take himself out for a walk.
How can I walk without shoes?
Oh, they'll be ready for you tomorrow, Joe. And I got you a couple of shirts and some pajamas. They'll be delivered tomorrow, too.
There, you see, Doctor. I've got to get...
Don't get excited. Don't get excited. Lie down. Joe is a trifle upset today, Miss Lizzie. I wonder if you would bring him a little warm milk.
Oh, right away.
Now, would you believe me? Shoes and shirts and pajamas. That woman is determined to marry me. I can see it in her eye. I'm going to get out of it all. I've got to get in. If I have to go in these things, I've got to go.
You would look mighty queer running around in Miss Lacey's nightgown. And you wouldn't get very far.
Well, I'd be out of this house.
Yes, and the police would get you. Tell you now, Joe, if I had my way, she would have turned you over to the police the first day.
Oh, Dr. Christian, won't you please help me? Bring me some old clothes. Get them here tonight. Anything at all so I can make a break.
Here we are, some nice warm milk. Now you drink every bit of that, Joe. It will make you sleep well. We're going to have chicken and dumplings for supper. And tomorrow... Well, I'll keep that for a surprise. But we'll have you fattened up in a few days.
That's right. You certainly are building him up. Well, I'll be running along. Remember what I told you, Joe, and obey Miss Lacey. She knows what is best.
Oh, gee, Doc.
Well, Dr. Christian, what did you discover about Miss Lizzie's burglar?
Oh, lots of things. His name, for instance.
And it is?
Joe Henderson.
Oh, did he volunteer or did you threaten him?
The idea. He was in a talkative mood and he told me considerable about himself.
Like what?
He comes from a little town in Pennsylvania and he's a landscape gardener.
And not a regular burglar.
Oh, I doubt if the man had any wrong intentions. He was very sick and trying to find some place to lie down and hide for a while. Oh, that must be Sam Hart. I told his wife to have him stop by for some medicine for the baby.
Oh, Miss Lizzie. Is the doctor in? Oh, I must see him. Oh,
Miss Lizzie, come into my private office.
Oh, there you are. Oh, I'm all in. I've hurried so.
Sit down. Well, what is wrong?
It's Joe. He's gone.
Joe gone? Where? When?
I don't know. That's why I'm here. I thought he might have said something to you this afternoon.
Well, he talked about a lot of things.
I can't figure it out. He seemed cheerful. He was getting along fast. He ate a large plate of chicken and dumplings, and he seemed more talkative than usual.
When did you discover he had left?
About a half an hour ago. You see, around 7, I went over to call on Lucilla Bant. I wanted to talk to a woman about Joe and...
Yes.
Well, I was gone about a half hour, and when I came back, I went directly to his room with some elderberry wine, which Lucilla gave me for him, and he was gone.
Well, did he leave a note or...
Nothing. And Dr. Christian, he can't go far, because all he has on is one of my nighties and an old bathrobe of father's. I think he might have been delirious and wandered away.
Oh, I don't think so. He was not sick enough for that. Had no fever. In fact, I thought he should get up tomorrow and go out.
You
sure you looked everywhere?
I went through the entire house. Looked in the closets and under the beds and wherever I found him. And even in the barn. And not a trace.
That sounds very mysterious.
Yes, it is. And Dr. Christian, I've got to get him back. He's just the man I want. The one I've been hoping for and praying for ever since Father passed away.
Why, Miss Lacey, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know anything about him. Why...
Don't I? I wheedled everything out of him yesterday, and I have his history from the cradle up to the present moment, and I'm perfectly satisfied that he's just what I want.
Well, of course, it's none of my business, but it seems to me you're taking an awful chance. I didn't know you felt this way about him.
I didn't know it myself, fully, until yesterday. And then I made my decision, and I intended to talk to him about it tonight.
Oh, dear, you women, you certainly act quick about some things, don't you?
I'm old enough to know what I want. Oh, but you're wasting time. Isn't there something you can do? Call the police. Surely a man in that outfit wouldn't be difficult to spot anywhere.
Very well, but I don't like this idea at all. I'll call the police and see if they know anything. Hello. Oh, is that you, Sergeant Hicks? This is Dr. Christian. Very well, thank you. How are Mrs. Hicks and the children? That's good. Sergeant, I want to ask, have you taken in or had a report on a man roaming around clad in a lady's nightgown and a... what kind of a bathrobe is it? And an Indian blanket bathrobe. No, I'm not joking. He's a patient of mine. He's got out, and I'm afraid he might be delirious. Well, thank you, and if you hear anything, call me and try to hold him till I get there. Yeah, goodbye. Well, police have no knowledge of him.
Well, what about the hospital?
All right.
Who are you? Oh, help!
Never mind who I am. I've got to have some clothes, quick.
Oh, that voice. It's he. It's Joe.
I've got to see Dr. Christian.
Wait. I believe you're right. It is too. You stay here.
Don't let him get away again.
Well, Joe, I see you did it. Left Miss Lacey without even a note of thanks.
I had to. It's just as I told you, Doctor. She gave me chicken and dumplings, and then said she wanted to have a nice, cozy chat with me. And I know what she was after, getting me in the right frame of mind, but I tell you what...
Oh, such foolishness. Leaving the house and running around in that outlandish get-up. It's a wonder you weren't picked up by the police.
Jane is too good for you.
Anything is better than being trapped by her.
Oh, now, that's a nice way to show your gratitude. What Miss Lizzie would want with a man like you is beyond me anyhow.
That's my business.
You! Let me out! Let me get away!
Now, hold on, Joe, and you too, Miss Lizzie. Come on, sit down, both of you, and try and act like sensible human beings. In the first place, Joe, what objection has a man like you to a fine, splendid woman like Miss Lizzie?
It isn't Miss Lizzie, it's all women.
What's the matter? Are you crazy?
I think both of you are. This man runs out of your house at night, and then you run after him. That's no way to promote a happy marriage.
Marriage?
Yes, marriage. You've been here for half an hour, and all you talked about is that you must have Joe back, and that he's the man you've been praying for, the only one you want.
I'm not marrying anybody.
Fiddlesticks. What's this fool talking about? I'm not looking for a husband. What I want is a landscape gardener.
A gardener?
A gardener?
A gardener?
Anything so funny about my wanting that flower garden laid out properly? You are a gardener, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Oh. Miss Lizzie, please forgive me. You wanted a gardener. And, well, I thought you were trying to get a husband.
And the curtain comes down on another prize play starring Gene Hersholt as Dr. Christian. Mr. Hersholt will be here in a moment to greet you. Meanwhile, it's National Pharmacy Week. Time to visit your drugstore and get in whatever supplies you need. So check your medicine cabinet, inspect your first aid kit, and make doubly sure that you have Vaseline jelly on hand. In 9 out of 10 American homes, Vaseline jelly is the first thought in first aid for many everyday emergencies. In case of minor burns or scalds, apply it promptly. Vaseline jelly quickly eases the pain, brings soothing relief. Use it, too, as a dressing for small cuts and abrasions, bruises and scrapes. Vaseline jelly gives effective 1-2-3 first aid. 1, it soothes minor skin irritation. 2, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. And 3, it helps to promote healing. There's no telling where an accident is going to happen, so keep several jars of Vaseline jelly on hand, in the medicine cabinet, the kitchen, and naturally in your first aid kit. For hundreds of uses, you'll find it the handiest thing in the house. Stop in at your drugstore and get Vaseline jelly tonight. It's only 10 cents. And now here is Gene Hersholt. And our studio audience is giving them a big hand, for there's no more popular star in all of Hollywood than Gene Hersholt.
Thank you, friends of the Dr. Christian program. Next week, we celebrate our birthday with a fine, prize-winning play called Light a Fallen Star by William Kendall Clark of Detroit, Michigan. So be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, when we broadcast our 205th play to start us off on our 6th year on the air. And until then, I'll say good night.
Ladies, here's how to help make your next permanent the most flattering one you've ever had. Start now to give yourself regular Vaseline hair tonic treatments before every shampoo. They put your hair in condition to take a lovelier, longer-lasting wave. Complete directions with every bottle. Get Vaseline hair tonic tonight. Art Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.